Hey everyone, and welcome back to this 35th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host Sean, and with me once again is Ruby, and then a whole bunch of other people, right?
Yes, but we can get a little more specific than that. I think it's all right.
Okay. Well, how about we do some introductions then? You guys want to introduce yourselves and let everyone know who you are? Dan, how about you go first?
Fine, I am Dan the Man. Best name ever.
And you're also known as Media Master 9000, which, you know, we've read a few of your emails, so we all know who you are, right?
Yes, yes. And I'm also in the MVOP Guild, shout out. Know me as Sensei, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he said this on the live streams like every week, man.
Awesome.
Well, now that I'm sorry, Ruby, I actually for the last 2 weeks I haven't been, because I've got this new job where now I work the graveyard, and right now is like 4 a.m. to my body. But you know what? I'm dedicated. I'm dedicated to this cause. So.
Oh, we love you for it.
Yes, we do. Okay, so somebody follow that up.
Yeah, Tramiel, how about you?
Oh boy. Let's see. Obviously, my name is Tramiel. Just pretty much just an avid gamer. MMOs, first-person shooters, consoles, arcade, indie games. I play all of it, and I keep a blog at steelharmony.com.
Sweet.
Cool.
Sweet. Amara, you want to go next?
Okay. I'm Amara. I'm from Australia, so you have to excuse the accent. And if you can't understand anything I'm saying, then that's your problem, not mine.
Oh, I love her.
I have been playing MMOs for about 6 years. I started with Guild Wars, I believe. It was so long ago. Other than that, I'm from another podcast about StarCraft 2. So I'm looking forward to spreading my MMO wings.
Nice.
Oh, StarCraft. Nice. That's a game awesome. That I play. It's a good game, that one.
Sweet. Well, how about you, Yo?
Yes, I'm Yo, and also known as Daniel, and I'm also a man, apparently. Yeah,
just,
I'm...
No, he's just a man, not the man.
A the man.
Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, I'm just a scrub from the internet, being a fan of Guildcast since way back in the days. Guild Wars was my first MMO. And really, I haven't been too much involved in the MMOs since, because I really don't like MMOs, to be honest. So I spend most of my time playing single-player games like StarCraft 2, which is fantastic. So.
See, I like the fact that you're on here because we do have this kind of wide variety. And I love talking to people who have played MMOs and then they kind of don't like them anymore. You know, I don't know why I like that. It's like a recovering alcoholic or something.
Yes, well.
Way to stigmatize that. That's awesome.
I know, that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And then, of course, we have Ruby. We all know her, right?
Sadly.
Unfortunately.
So what we're going to do is, this is going to be a roundtable show, like we've had the first one, of course, was with the Relics of War folks, and this one is going to be about instanced versus persistent worlds. And it's not so much that we're going to have like a giant debate where we're going to be throwing things at each other. It's going to be more about, you know, just kind of listing the goods and bads of each, because as we know, you know, Guild Wars 1 is heavily instance. I mean, it's all instance. And then Guild Wars 2 is going to introduce more of a persistent world along with the instanced storyline, the kind of character storyline. So I wanted to get us on here just to talk about the pros and cons of each, as well as some hybrid models of what's happening in current MMOs. So I figured this would be a good time to get a few people on and just kind of talk about that. So first of all, I want to throw this question out to the group. Who out there prefers the heavily instanced world of Guild Wars 1 over anything else?
Me.
Okay. I'm kind of on both sides, but there are points of both that I enjoy a lot. So I want to hear kind of your thoughts on what is it about the heavily instanced world that makes it the preferred world for you?
Well, maybe it might have been because I started that way. But mostly it would probably be because I feel a much greater connection to the world around me. What I see is my world, and it's what it's, you know, changes and gets influenced by what I do. While in a persistent world, it can really do whatever it wants, whether I'm interacting with it or not.
Mm-hmm. So you do, I mean, like you said, you're actually a StarCraft II player, so I mean, this makes sense that you do enjoy, do you think it's more of like a single player type of a game like that?
Probably when it comes to gameplay, I would probably say yes, I prefer more the single player RPG mm-hmm. style, but I do like the interaction and I like grouping and everything with everyone else, but yeah, I would say that I kind of prefer to have my little edge of the corner.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way on the way Guild Wars 1 was set up. I mean, it was my first MMO too, and it was something where it was like, you know, it's great to be able to vanquish. I mean, that's one of the coolest things you can do with, mm-hmm. with instancing, is you can go in there, it's your little corner, you know, you know that you can clear out these mobs right here, and then you can go take a break and, you know, eat or whatever, and then, and you come back and nothing's going to respawn right in front of you.
True, and at least it gives you a sense of accomplishment as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, vanquishing is a lot of fun, and it's something you can only do in instancing. So yeah, I do see that part of it. But now, what I'm wondering is, have you played heavily persistent worlds too?
Yes, I pretty much try every MMO out there. I've played a lot of World of Warcraft. I'm getting into Rift. Played Ion, so very much used to a persistent world. I just don't know. Feel that connection, I guess. I don't feel like I'm completely accomplishing anything. And it just keeps going on. You know, with an instance world, you can have an end. You can defeat the big bad guy, and the big bad guy stays dead.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know if that has so much to do with instancing so much as the complete and utter lack of storytelling in any of these persistent games.
That's true.
Poor Blizzard.
That's a whole different podcast.
Oh my gosh, we could go on about that.
Well, what I'm interested to know also, I guess when it comes to this, is it's kind of like the personality type, you know, when it comes to instance versus persistent also, because I find myself, I'm a little bit more of a kind of a, not a solo player, but I like playing with a small group, and I really like the instancing because I like to just get a group of friends and do their, you know, do our thing. And not have to worry about gankers, and I mean, respawns are a whole different thing. But there's also that whole sense of accomplishment when you, like, I think I've seen this written before. When you save the princess, you know, metaphorically speaking, you don't want to see the princess respawn 2 seconds later, and then somebody else saves her. You know what I mean? It's like you want that sense of accomplishment of doing it, and it's done. You know, no matter how long
absolutely.
You
absolutely,
yeah,
yeah, definitely.
So, what does everybody else think?
You know, I'm kind of on the fence because there are some great advantages to instanced worlds, and it's the ones that we've covered. It's, you know, vanquishing. Vanquishing is so cool, and you can only do that because Guild Wars is set up the way it is. Mm-hmm. And there's a little joke in our alliance. Just here and there, you'll see somebody say, okay, you know, Grothmar Wardowns is safe. You guys can all go there. We killed everything, and everybody has a little laugh. But it's just, you know, it's just a little enjoyment that, oh, I made this place safe for everybody. We did it. We cleared all the baddies. And that's kind of fun. And I do like, you know, I like that, all right, I'm killing this boss, and I killed him, and I took him out, and there are 15 people lined up behind me waiting for the respawn. Because that does, and it pulls you out of the story worse than giant green exclamation points pull you out of the story. It's that kind of thing, those respawns like that, that's a problem with a persistent world. But then on the other hand, I've had the, I hate to say misfortune, but it kind of is, I've had the misfortune of falling in love with, my top two MMOs are Guild Wars and DDO, and they're both instanced, which means that I, as a very, very social player, am limited to how many people I can play with.
Yeah, there's a drawback.
Yeah, in DDO, we're stuck with 6, and in Guild Wars, if you get really ambitious, you can have 12. But, you know, well, and like Dan was saying, on MVOP nights, on Thursday nights, we've always got at least 2 groups running because there's not room for everybody that wants to play together. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the biggest downsides of Guild Wars to me. If I want to play with, if there are 14 people on, I want to go play with those 14 people. And I don't want to have to say, well, okay, you know what? You 7 over here, I can play with you. You 8, you guys have to go do your own thing. I'm sorry. I'll see you later.
Well, I don't think that problem is actually solved with a persistent world, because you still have to have two different groups or three different groups. You can just see them. You can physically see them running alongside of you. And we used to do that. We had some groups running in LOTRO, like a couple years ago, and we had so many people from massively readers that came on, so we had to form a bunch of different groups. Well, it was great because we were running alongside of each other, but we weren't able to share the loot, we weren't able to share the experience. It was just seeing each other there, which I guess counts for something, but it's not a 100% solve of the problem.
It's not. Yeah. It would go a long way for me. I mean, I would love that, and I'll take that when I can get it. Unfortunately, the two games that I play the most don't work that way. But I wonder, Guild Wars 2 looks like it may be on the way to solving that.
Well, it depends if it has scaling content or not. But from what I've heard from Renanet, they do seem to be going in that direction. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, especially the way they're splitting it up.
Yeah.
One of the drawbacks that I see a lot of times with instanced worlds is, at least in the MMOs that I'm aware of that do instance worlds, there's a kind of a requirement for a group when you go into these instances, and whether it's NPC or not. And to me, that kind of makes it feel like just any other single player RPG out there, like Dragon Age or Mass Effect or any of those kinds of things, where you have this group and it's required to play the game. And so for maybe a solo player, that's nice for them, but for like Guild Wars, I know there's a lot of content up in the latter end of the game that is extremely difficult to try and, maneuver these mindless drone NPCs around, to get them out of AoEs, to get them, to deal with all these different things, and micromanage your entire group. In order to avoid that and get in with some actual people, it's really difficult to just spam for pugs. And frustrating to spam for pugs in which you might not even successfully complete it anyways without somebody like dropping out or something like that. And so it really requires you to kind of be a part of a group. And if you are by yourself in the game, I think that if I hadn't have been given on that one guildcast, the first guildcast that I actually wrote an email to, if I hadn't been extended an invitation by Ruby to join MVOP, I would still be a single player in Guild Wars probably right now and not very far into it. And so, I don't know, I see that as kind of a drawback as far as instance games are concerned. So,
yeah, because, I mean, it's pretty much balanced to be for an X number of people, and any more, any less, and otherwise you're pretty much boned. And,
yeah. I mean, if you've got a group, then instance, no problem. It's a lot. It can be a lot of fun to get together with those people that you actually know and get into there and, like Ruby said, do the vanquishing and all that other stuff with people that you actually know and can communicate with and talk to. Then it's a blast. But I mean, if you're by yourself with your NPCs, it can become really a redundant experience in which you just, it's not fun anymore because one, you're by yourself and you've done it 30 times already, so anyways.
To me, that's the beauty of an MMO, though, and I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but that happens to be my playstyle. The joy of playing an MMO is playing with people, and like Dan said, if you can't do that, it gets kind of rote and almost boring after a little while. And I have to commend ArenaNet for catering to the single-player people with Heroes and Henchmen and this mythical seven-hero party that I don't even know, but I have to commend them for catering to those players. But when you take out that human element, it can get a little bit lonely, and that's why I like persistence. I mean, even like Sean said, if I'm just running alongside them, you're still there, and you're still participating in the bigger picture together, and that means a lot to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said for being able to play alone together, but I mean, one thing that I love Guild Wars for was, if I don't have other people, I can always just go through and play the story. And, it's still telling you a storyline, which is good as far as single player is concerned. But if you want to play with people, you can play with people, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a single Guild Wars player.
Well, so was I.
Although I'd probably say it wasn't by choice, it's just more time zone differences and things like that.
Oh, no, is that feeling?
You know what I think is cool, though, is that in some games, the persistence doesn't even have to be overpowering. In Fallen Earth, there's one server, and it's a giant, giant world. And a lot of times, I play with this group of about five or six other people, and we'll just be running through, and we won't see anyone. You know, it's almost instanced. But then we'll see, like, another group of people ride by on motorcycles, and it's like, you know, it's like, well, that was kind of cool, just to see that and know that they're real players and they're doing something. But it's, you know, the whole rest of the evening, we probably won't run into another player. And that's, I don't know if that's to say anything about Fallen Earth or if it's to say anything about the, you know, the vast world. But I like the fact that even with a persistent world like that, it can be open and closed, kind of, in the same way. You know, it's still, you don't have to worry about people, you know, a group of people sitting there stealing kills from you, which, I mean, for anyone who's playing Rift right now, that's pretty much all it is. It's a lot of kill steals. And,
why am I not surprised?
And things like that always bug me about persistence. But I like, you know, there are different games that do it differently, and I like different ones for different reasons, I guess.
If anything, I think it draws a stark contrast to the brilliance in ArenaNet's designing of Guild Wars 2 and the fact that there's no more kill stealing, because if you help somebody kill something, you both get credit for it, which I think is mm-hmm. brilliant. Yeah. You know, I mean, it makes me wonder why people haven't thought of that before. I mean, how many MMOs are out there in which the developer, I mean, it's all kill stealing, you know what I'm saying? As far as persistent mm-hmm. worlds are concerned, it's all kill stealing. You know, everybody's like trying to get to that node or trying to get, I can't tell you how many times when I started playing Rift one of the beta tests ago, you know, I'm doing these quests to, like, go and collect all this ore, and I'm, like, almost there, and some mm-hmm. dude comes flying in out of the side of my screen I didn't even know was there, and he gets it just before I get there, and I was just like, come on, man.
Yeah, and not only that, like, this is one of the big points I want to make tonight, is I've actually, in Rift, and I'm not just picking on Rift, because this happens in a lot of other games, I played a melee character, but I couldn't get the kills in because I'm running up and the, you know, the hunter type characters are in the back, or the, you know, the backline characters are claiming all the spawns. Mm. And I'm saying, you know what, in such a busy game like this, you can't successfully play a melee character. So I re-rolled a ranger, you know, or a rogue with, marksmanship, but a, you know, the arrow type character, to go in there just so that I could get that kill that I see before the next guy shoots it, you know, and then it just becomes a shooting game. It becomes, you know, who can tag what first. Yeah. And that kind of stuff really bothers me because I just wanted to try out a melee character, you know, mm-hmm. and I couldn't do it. I mean, there are ways around it. There are a few skills that let you, shoot forward, you know, and kind of do a rush.
The champion.
Yeah, kind of that kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Bull's rush. And so I mean, they did try to kind of fix that in there, but the majority of the skills aren't made for that. So, yeah, I just hated that I had to re-roll just to compete with the whole tagging the first enemy first, you know, kind of a thing. I don't know.
Are you glad that you don't have to do that in Guild Wars?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got the Ion where it's just a DPS race, so even if you are there first, but if you're a tank or a healer, you know, the sorcerer can come in and just go boom, boom, and take it from you.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see that Guild Wars, that ArenaNet has sat down with Guild Wars 2 and said, okay, how can we solve this? And that seems to be the approach that they've taken with a lot of Guild Wars 2 design.
Yeah, I mean, okay, just to explain a little bit, they have the persistent world, which will be the entire open world, and then they have the storyline, which is like your character's you know, backstory and everything, and that's the actual instance part where it progresses, and you can do that pretty much all instanced. How do you guys feel about that? Do you think that dividing it up like that? I mean, of course, only one of us here has played it. That's Ruby. But do you think dividing it up like that is a good idea?
Sounds
you know,
good to me.
I absolutely do. Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. And it was just, I feel like I should be able to speak to gameplay more. But you guys have no idea how hectic it was. And it was this giant race to cram in as much content as you possibly could. And in the top left-hand corner of your screen the whole time, it's ticking down. And you're like, move faster! But you know what? I think it's a good progression of ArenaNet's desire to give something to the persistent players and something to the instance players. what I love about the persistence is that they're getting away, like Yo said, from that running alongside. It was at least twice I was just in a giant fight where people were running from every direction, and it was this mass of people, and the battle would scale, and everybody really was participating. It just wasn't you happen to be in the same place. It's that people are coming to help. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, they have done that so, so well from what I've seen. But if that's not your thing, if you hate that kind of thing, you've still got gameplay. You're not left out. Mm-hmm. So I was very impressed with how they did that.
I think also one of the great things that this shows as far as ArenaNet's concerned and their attention to what players are really looking for and how to balance it in a way that's you know, enjoyable for everyone, it is the use of their use of both persistent and instanced worlds. Persistent, of course, is really a community type experience, you know, where everyone is there, you see them all over the place, you know, and they've made that available so that, you know, you're not just stuck to, you know, towns in order to communicate with your fellow players, you know, real life people somewhere in the world. But at the same time, you know, the good thing with that instanced idea is this character development. And, you know, maybe some people, even though people may not get into an MMO for the strict purpose of role-playing a character or something like that, it still plays subconsciously. You know, anybody who creates that character, creates that avatar, makes the hair, makes the eyes, makes the whatever, makes all the colors, and names it, will automatically have an attachment to that character. And the instanced version that you will find in Guild Wars 2 is, from what I've seen in all the videos that I've watched, it makes it so that you can tailor that personal character experience that deep down everybody really enjoys, you know. And so now you can develop your character at your own speed, at your own rate, but at the same time get out and communicate.
Shout off to your friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Enough to chat back a bit when you say how the open world is supposed to be that community vibe. Like we were talking about earlier, how, you know, somebody helped you with the mob. That's my mob. You're all sharing it, that experience. About if he helps you, everybody gets experience for it. Right now you're talking about how running to get your nodes in the rift right there. Everybody has their own node. So you can get yours and still get theirs at the same time without having to fight over it.
Yeah, in Guild Wars 2?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that'll be nice. Mm. Yeah, I think that solves that problem. I mean, that's something that, again, like you were saying earlier, Dan, you know, why didn't they think of this earlier? You know, everyone gets that node, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't disappear when one person gets it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm seriously biting my tongue not to say nasty things about other developers, but... So anyways, I'm relatively neutral, you know, as to whether it should be persistent or instance. I'd imagine that they're going to have, like, missions and dungeons, which are going to be instance in Guild Wars 2. But it really depends on how they go about doing the persistence. And I'm thinking more like what they're doing with the AI, because what I hate to see is just seeing the same mobs standing in the same place where they spawn, and they just sit there contemplating their own navel, waiting for you to come along and kill them. And it's, you know, just going back and seeing the same thing every time and getting the same reaction gets a little more than tedious.
Oh, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, yeah. I've been playing the Rift beta a lot, and it was sort of, you know, bland. It was an MMO. It feels like WoW. It feels like Warhammer. It was fun. But last night... Last night, a group of our guildies, we all got together. I was healing, and they were all warriors, and we were just running from invasion and rift and just killing everyone. We set our party to raid in public, so we had randoms joining us, leaving us, and we spent about 5 or 6 hours just running around to killing all these invasions and rifts, which I do believe they put onto high because this is their stress testing beta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, that was the most fun I've had in an MMO in a very long time, which, you know, in an instance world, you wouldn't have got. And yeah. I think that's really what's going to drag it above and to make itself its own MMO, not the questing, not the killing, not even the gameplay. It's that group, everyone working together, everyone rushing to the invasions and the rifts and pew-pewing.
Yeah, and if, I mean, if Guild Wars could do something a little bit like that, then I'm sure everyone would be over the moon. Although, I have seen instancing where you can have persistent elements. Have you ever heard of the Monster Hunter series?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, well, I mean, I love the game. It's literally changed the way I think about gaming. And when you go into the instances, you know, each of the zones are their own little instance. You enter and leave and enemies respawn, etc. But there's one persistent element, which is the big monstrosity you're there to hunt, and it will move from zone to zone to zone in real time. And going, you know, hunting after something and actually having to travel and hunt this thing down in real time and have it pick up and leave in the middle of battle and you have to chase after it, you instantly forget all about the instancing. You know, if they have something like that in Guild Wars where bosses, you know, they come in and they move around, they go from zone to zone, and if you want to kill them, you have to hunt them down. Yeah, that would be terrific, if you ask me.
Well, I think one of the things they're actually talking about that they're implementing in the game in Guild Wars 2 will be like these villages that are being pillaged by a group of ogres or, you know, giants or something. They come in, and they can change it. With the persistent world, they actually can, if you don't defend the village, they'll take it over. They'll burn it down. And then, of course, that will, you know, reset after a while. But it's one of those things where people can join in, they can not join in. It's kind of like the rifts, you know, in Rift, where you have these invasions that happen. And it's just like Amar was saying, you know, you can get a group of people and go from village to village, I imagine, and defend these, and then it becomes this whole new thing where people can join, they can leave at any time, and, you know, that's what they've talked about, like this public quest kind of a thing, which I imagine is pretty much exactly the way Rift is. So I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds interesting.
Ruby may know this better than myself, but I was under the impression with as far as the event system was concerned that, like Sean, what you were saying about how these, if you don't come across a town that's being attacked by all these ogres, and then if you don't do anything about it, they can take it over. Don't I have it set up so that that will open up a new set of events that will allow you to kind of go through a questing process in order to take it back? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you can do that. It's the whole thing is very dynamic, and everything. It makes me think of this gigantic Choose My Adventure book. Every decision you make has the potential to lead to a completely different pathway, and a lot of those decisions can lead to different pathways for the entire world. Because if they take over that village, if they burn that village down, and now it's, you know, some kind of little ogre stomping ground or whatever, it's that for the entire world. I mean, your decision and the decision of those around you to say, you know what, that guy in that village looked at me funny and he's on his own. I'm going to go, you know, buy a pie from this farmer or whatever. Then that has happened for everyone around you. And it has the potential to change the path for everyone around you and everyone in the world.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the awesome things about that is the fact, well, Sean, I think before we started this, the recording, Sean was talking about the whole use of phasing in World of Warcraft. And as far as, like, I see those two things, phasing and dynamic events, to be the same kind of contrast between instance and persistent to me. And the reason I say that is because with phasing, if I have a friend who's off doing solo stuff in with a quest line that eventually gets into some phasing areas, and then if he runs into something that he can't do on his own and he wants my help, I can't help him because when I go there, I don't see any of those bad guys, you know. It's all empty, or there's a completely different set of mobs there. With the dynamic events, it plays in both with that, as in, you know, you see the world around you changing as you are participating in it. If you need help with something and you call a friend in, yeah, he can come in. Not only can he come in, but he gets sidekicked to whatever level the zone is for or the event is for, so that, you know, you feel like there's challenge there for you and your friend. The event gets scaled depending on how many of you there are. And the use of that really, it feels like it gets tailored to a similar idea that Amar was talking about with Rift and this, you know, when you go from Rift to Rift, just, you know, killing everything, guilds would be able to do that in, you know, they could get together in a world raiding party and go find out, the Shatterer is there, and they all go, and the event gets, like, bumped up, and then it's, like, this crazy, like, war, and it's just, like, this huge thing that everyone can participate in. You don't see general chat spammed with invite, please, or anything like that. It's just really, I think it's a really brilliant, idea there, so.
Definitely. Yeah. I think scaling would be very, very important. One of the problems at Rift at the moment is if a Rift opens and there's not enough people around, everyone gets, ruffle stomped, and the invasion takes over and you can't do anything about it. As an Australian playing in an off time zone, it's kind of important to me to know that if there's only five guys around with me, us six people can take it, without needing 20 or a whole raid party or anything along those lines. So I think scaling is one of those things that will make or break it, especially for us playing in off time zones.
True, but it also has something to do with AI as well and how they do that, because if you remember back in like Guild Wars, I mean, when you ran into mobs, you couldn't do a whole lot on them against them on your own. You had to have other people, otherwise they all target you, they all do damage to you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm interested to see how their active response combat system actually works, and whether you can actually, if you can take your time, slowly whittling down the enemies with a small group. Otherwise,
Well, one problem I've seen in Rift is a big group will go in when a Rift opens, and it does scale, it's supposed to scale, but what will happen is a big group will go in, and then they'll open the rift, and then they'll run to the next rift and leave that one open so that no one – it doesn't descale. It doesn't go back down when a solo player runs in there. So these griefers actually – I call them griefers, but they're probably just bored. But they're going around opening these rifts with max – with 20 enemies in there, and then they'll running to the next one and just leaving them open so that no one can kill the enemies unless they have the same number that the other people had. And I've seen that happen a few times. I think that's kind of maybe something Tryon didn't think about. But I don't know.
That must have been what I saw. I know one time it was major water rift right next to an outpost, and I was the only one there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God, they're going to kill me. And, of course, they were right next to the outpost, so when the invasion comes, boomf, done.
Yeah,
Can't do anything about it. But I know when I was running around with the big guild last night, we were coming across invasions and just, phew, done. It's like, that wasn't even worth running across the map to get to.
Yep.
Well, that's the kind of thing that I think ArenaNet is thinking ahead on, because like Amara said, it's going to make or break it. Because I hate to say this, because I've actually heard some pretty good stuff about Rift, and I haven't gotten into it enough to really be able to speak to it with any sort of knowledge whatsoever. But people are going to get frustrated at that stuff and leave. And from a purely business standpoint, it's very smart of ArenaNet to come up with automatic scaling.
Yeah. And also, we were talking about phasing earlier. Phasing is what I imagine. Like you were saying, there's a big contrast there. Phasing is what I imagine to be more of the storyline stuff, I'm hoping. When they say that the storyline stuff is instanced, I'm hoping that doesn't mean that it's in its own world. I'm hoping that doesn't mean you go through a really linear dungeon and that's your storyline. I'm hoping you can run through the same world, but you see it differently than everybody else because of the phasing. Now, I guess to explain a little bit of phasing, what it is you can... There's no zoning. Like in Guild Wars 1, you actually, you literally run through zones and they open, there's a loading screen and all that. Phasing, you run between areas, and let's say you go from a forest to like a shoreline, and in most games, the name of the shoreline will come up, say whatever shore, and it's actually opening up another zone even though you didn't have a loading screen or anything like that. And what World of Warcraft will do is it'll open it up, and it'll read where you're at in your quests, and it'll kind of like render that zone according to where you're at in the quests. So it's kind of cool because it's like, okay, I haven't killed that boss yet, and I run through there, and he's there. But there's another person who might be standing right next to me, not in my group, and he's seeing the boss dead because he killed him earlier. Maybe that's a bad example because bosses respawn, but I mean, like something happened it's not there for him, but it's there for me, and we're standing right next to each other. That's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing, because then, I mean, I guess if he joins your group, then whoever the group leader is, that's the one, you know, the atmosphere kind of changes for him to look like you, to look like your atmosphere. But, so that's what I'm thinking that the storyline thing is going to be, which I like phasing. I think it's brilliant, but there are definitely drawbacks. You know, I had a really bad bug in World of Warcraft where, there's this quest I was supposed to turn in. Actually, there were about 5 quests at this one NPC. I went around, did all the quests, came back, and he was stuck in a battle, and I couldn't turn in my quests because he was running around. He kept saying, "I'm busy," and I couldn't turn in the quest. But it was a result of the phasing, because what I did was I did the quests out of order, and I finished another quest before I finished one to where he would stop fighting. So when I did these other ones, you know, I came back and he's still fighting, and it was a bug. So I actually reported it, and they were like, "Oh, sorry, nothing we can do about that." So that really sucked. But I think that's a drawback. There are certain things that could go wrong, I guess, and it gets a little frustrating.
Yeah, it sounds a bit schizophrenic.
Yeah. It kind of is, yeah.
I love the concept of phasing, and I love how, especially the way World of Warcraft has done it when Blizzard recreated Azeroth, you know, they upped a lot of the zones where they all had their own little individual epic storyline, you know, a bit like the campaign quest or main quest, where doing those ones would change the world around you and it would stay changed. And it was this brilliant concept. And when you were going through these zones, they were really amazing and immersive. And you were like, "Wow, I'm actually going to save this outpost." And, "Oh my God, that guy's a worgen? Huh?" And it was really, really great, except for the problem that you had to do the storyline from start to end. And yeah, especially for someone who had heirloom gear, and plus Blizzard made it really, really easy. So you often out-leveled an area before you finished it, and you couldn't get to the end of the area without going through the beginning, because all those phased little outposts were phased. So that was a little frustrating. You're going through doing grade level quests going, "This is kind of boring. It's fun, but it's boring." Trying to get to the point where you can actually start doing hard content again. So I think it was a mixture of making it a bit too easy and a little too much phasing.
Yeah, it makes it really linear like that.
Yes, no, it does.
You definitely overdo it.
Well, I'm curious to know, you know, we've talked a lot about the instancing and as that as a favorite, but who here thinks that persistence is the absolute best of the best?
Only if it's done right. That's an asterisk.
Yeah, instead of rating people.
Yeah. Will we give a conditioned answer?
I mean, most of the complaints that people have regarding persistent worlds is things like that we've already mentioned, you know, kill stealing, waiting for specific mobs to spawn, trying to, you know, node stealing, all that kind of stuff that can be a problem for persistent worlds. Some of the benefits to persistent worlds that I particularly like is that whole kind of idea that Amara had talked about earlier, this, you know, that you go around and help people, stuff like that. When I was playing World of Warcraft, particularly during the Wrath, when Wrath was out, some of my favorite things to do was to fly around Dragonblight and just, you know, say in general chat that I'm willing to help anybody complete a lot of the elite quests that are out there of killing some of those elite mobs. I love helping people in that way. You know, I've got this level 80, blah, blah, blah. I'm willing to help, you know, just for fun, you know. Or you go flying around to some of those spots and see some fool trying to do it on their own, and you rush down and save them. Like, that kind of stuff is, to me, a blast. It's that interaction of being able to help people, you know, feeling like you're making a difference or something like that, even if it's not for the world, at least it's for that person. Now they don't have to die and run back to their body, you know, so that's good for them. You know, so anyways, those are the kind of things that I see as a positive for persistent worlds. But
You know, that reminds me of a funny story. When I first started playing World of Warcraft, I was not new to persistent worlds, but I was new to the specifics of World of Warcraft. So I didn't really understand that when someone was marked PvP, you know, they were their name was a different color. And so I actually got what I think, even the fact that I got stuck by this, I still thought it was brilliant. I saw a guy that was injured. And I love to do exactly like you said and go around and help him. And I healed this guy, and then his friends pop up and kill me because when I healed him, it turned me PvP. It marked me for PvP. So they ran up That's and killed life. Me. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, that was a trap. Okay, I got it. Okay. So, you know, you learn the lesson. But I was doing the same thing. And there are also other games which this still – I did this in LOTRO where I would run around and kind of – as a minstrel, I would heal people and buff them. But you would get to people who would be like, thanks a lot, jerk. And you're like, what? Like, I was trying to help you out. But I think it helped out or hurt their stats or something like that, and I don't know. So, you know, with the min-maxers, they don't like the help from other people, and you try to do that, and I don't know. It's this whole thing.
The same thing happened the way they to do me. It.
The same thing happened to you?
Yeah, although it wasn't a trap. I was just like, oh my god, I'm a druid. Buff, 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 buff. Why am I green? It's like, oh, what happened?
Yeah.
You do Gift of the Wild and get all of your party members, and just one of them was PvP enabled, and then it just flags you. So
Yeah.
It happened in Rift last night, actually, although Rift does have Ouch. A button now where you go, you know, don't auto PvP. And if you try to heal someone who's flagged, it will actually say, no, they're PvP. You can't heal them.
So, yeah, are you like, listening, hey. Blizzard?
To Blizzard Evil
in Ion as well, you know, where it's DPS, not tagging, I was running around as a little healer, and this warrior kept coming around and killing everything, going, buff me, buff me, buff me. And I was like, why are you stealing all my kills? It took a little while to explain to him what was going on, and then I buffed him. It was like frustrating.
So were there any other topics we wanted to cover with this?
I think we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
What about other persistent elements such as like weather, night and day, and so forth? Because I played old Final Fantasy XI for quite a while, and every now and then the weather would change, and then certain mobs would change as well. And I found there's a nice little bit of spice to the game.
Yeah, that's very true. The weather, I think, adds a lot. I think LOTRO was the first game I played with weather, and I was just blown away. I mean, pardon the pun, but I was blown away.
But
no, but I love the the rain and everything, and the fact that everyone is seeing that. I think that's really cool. There are a lot of games that do that now. Fallen Earth does that, and Worm, and I think that's a pretty cool feature.
You know what I love about that? That's like you said. That all the other people can see that. That just blows me away. And oh, I did it too. That was a total accident. But I was just thinking of something. A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned Worm. And there had been a rainstorm, or there was a storm or something in Worm. And I was just kind of looking around, and there was this huge rainbow. I don't know. Yeah, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And Sean, I don't know, he was like physically very, very, very far away on the map. He was way far away, actually on an island, and I was on the mainland. We were nowhere near each other, and I just sent him a tell and said, hey, there's this really cool rainbow. I wish you could see this over here. He goes, oh, I can see it.
I said, it's so vivid. It's so bright. It's so
yeah,
vivid.
That's And then he ruined it by making a double rainbow joke. No, but it was just so cool. He was literally miles and miles away in game, and we were both seeing the same thing. That was so cool.
Yeah.
And I do love that. I'm not a fan of the night cycle in games, just because I can't see anything. But I do like changes like that that everybody across the world can see.
Yeah,
I mean, night day cycles have downsides. I mean, if you ever played the Mortal Online beta, you'll know what that's about.
No, I did not.
I couldn't even get that beta to work.
Me neither.
Well, what was the Mortal Online beta about? What happened with the weather?
Well, they didn't have weather per se. They had night and day, which they jimmied in, and it was broken. Absolutely broken. You go in, it turns to night, it stays night for 95% of the time, and it's completely pitch black. You can't see 2 feet in front of you. You you're lost, and I drowned how many times because of
Oh my god. You didn't feel the water?
Yeah. Oh, well,
Your feet are wet.
Although, me and my friend that I was playing with at the time, we did gank a few people at night, so that was that was a bonus.
Even with, going back to Worm, I guess, there's fog in that game, and when it gets really foggy and you're trying to maneuver, like, a boat on water, it can get to where you can't see 10 feet in front of you. And I think it adds such a kind of a realism element to it, which I think is fun. And you could get that stuff in an instance, I imagine, but it's just the fact that, like, other people are having that same problem. You can talk in general chat, and people are like, oh, the fog rolled in, you know, and it's just...
I just stay home and make planks.
Yeah.
Do you ever see a pirate ship sort of coming out of the fog?
Oh, yeah, they have some pretty cool ships. Yeah. Huge ships.
And they look like pirate ships.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, awesome. There's also this crazy green boat. I don't know what that's all about.
Massively mobile.
Yeah. That's the greenest boat ever.
Yep.
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
And this is posed to everyone. And I know it's not exactly on topic of this roundtable. But I'm interested in finding out one or two of the biggest pet peeves you guys have in MMOs. Okay? I will start. Boy.
Okay.
One of my biggest pet peeves, I'm a pack rat, especially when there's professions involved. I collect everything, okay? In World of Warcraft, I have all of the professions, and I don't sell a dang thing on the auction house because at some point or another, I'm going to use whatever I'm saving in all of my bank tabs and whatever. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest pet peeves that I have is limited bag space, starting a character and having, like, 8 slots available. You know, and bags are way too expensive for your cheap budget of collecting 4 copper per kill.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you're left with nothing. You fill up all your bag space, and then you get these quests. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go collect, and I'm going to be a leather worker and a metal worker. And you go and collect all this leather and skin all these animals, and you've got 70% of your bag space is like leather scraps and metal ore that you haven't fashioned yet because you still want a quest. You don't want to have to go, you know, refine all this stuff. So anyways, that's pet peeve number one, I think, for me.
I'm looking at you, pre-searing. Give me a Zunlai chest now. I am not even kidding.
Especially when you're going for the survivor and you get so much stuff.
Well, and oh my gosh, Nicholas wants stuff now. You can't even save it.
See, you guys, were you guys around before the char bags? See, back then... Before those char bags. Yeah, don't even get me started.
So he'll stop.
Yeah. We didn't have these char bags back in my day.
We had to carry things. We had to carry char carvings in our mouth, and we were grateful.
You did.
You know what? I'm actually right there with you, and this is my pack rat confession. I have a separate account. This is embarrassing. It is an account.
Speaking of separate accounts, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ruby.
It's nothing but things that Nick the Traveler might need in the future. And it used to be a Zunlai Tournament House account, so, you know, I figured I may as well use it for something. But there are 4 characters on there, and they're called Prophecy's Mule, Faction's Mule, and they're divided up by campaign. Very nice and neat, and they all have all their bags and everything.
That's the beauty of no subscription.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And everybody asks for something that I don't have. But it is, yeah, limited bag space. And, you know, I know microtransactions are a hot topic and it can be a little controversial. I don't mind paying for permanent extra storage slots.
I don't either. I'm down.
That and cosmetic stuff to me are the purest form of what cash shops need to be. As long as you're not renting them, give you my $9.99, you give me my storage tab and you let me keep it.
Oh, yes. I mean, that was part of my problem with old Vindictus, is that you couldn't buy anything. You rented things.
Yeah.
And it defeated the point.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of bag slots and microtransactions, I know Yo played at 11 where I literally paid an extra $2 a month for those 2 extra characters to hold my stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I remember that. I mean, I didn't get that far into the game. I got up to the point where I was getting a summoner and I wanted to get Fenfear, but grind, and a little more grind, and no, I threw out my hands and said, stop this, I'm not doing it. I've got better things to do with my time and money.
Well, the bigger thing in the backspace where I think you had 60, and you had to do quests to get up every 5 levels. Then you had your own housing where you had to put furniture in the your mog house just to get more backspace. Now that's work for backspace.
What? Okay, you have to be seriously dedicated pack rat for that right there.
Well, the thing is, for 11, you had one character to do all your job levels. So people who leveled up different jobs ran out of space because you had to hold all your armor, all your weapons, all that stuff, and you just really couldn't level up because you don't have the space for it.
Mm. Ouch.
The game had some agonizing features, to say the least.
All right, well, I have a pet peeve.
Okay.
FedEx quests. And I may be, it's possible I'm a little bitter because I have been visiting the Nongberry Bush all day today to chant the New Year.
Oh my goodness, so have I.
But Factions is the worst for FedEx quests. Go find this person. Go get this person. And inevitably, they will ask you for something that they need that is right where you were 10 minutes ago because they just sent you there.
Yep.
Those are the biggest waste of my time. And, you know, this is something that we had talked about on Massively before. I don't want to do tedious crap to get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And FedEx quests are the very definition of tedious crap.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I am not...
You got my vote there.
No, I'm sorry, Canton people. I'm not taking mirrors to your homeless people anymore. Seriously. Just because to me it feels like they didn't put any thought into it.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me. It feels like, okay, you know what? We need them. We need to keep these people busy for an hour. Just tell me everything you need me to do. Give me everything you need to carry. You need me to carry. And I'll go do it. But this running back and forth, it feels lazy. It feels lazy on the part of the developers.
And I'm definitely feeling that in Riftabit, where you have to, not the same thing, but you get your quest, and you go to that area to do it, then you go back to turn it in. Then they give you 3 more quests to go right back out there and do the same thing over again.
Yes.
Like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, who decided at one point that was a good thing to put in MMOs? It's in all of them now.
It's an MMO staple. I mean, you can't get away from it. And that's part of, you know what, that's part of what turned me off to LOTRO. And I love LOTRO, but I did not want to fetch any more animal bits.
Yeah.
You know, Ruby makes an interesting point to me there, and it does actually tie back into the instance versus persistent, in that with the instanced world of Guild Wars, whenever you get sent on a FedEx quest, you go out, you kill your way to the objective and get whatever they want, then you go back and they're like, oh, and also will you take it to this dude on the other side of the town, you know, like 4 instance, you know, portals away, and then you have to re-kill your way back through the instance that you already went through in order to get to the objective person of giving that away to. And I think that's one of the downfalls to instance versions that really, when I first got Guild Wars like 4 years ago, I think if there was anything, that was one of the main reasons that I kind of stopped playing it. That, and I didn't have anybody to share the game with, really. You know, it was the idea that I had to keep taking stuff back out into this world and re-kill my way back through something. There was no easy, you know, path that wouldn't avoid, you know, mobs. They kept popping out of the ground at me, and it was just like, no, I just killed you. What are you doing still in the ground? You're not supposed to be there. Get out.
Yeah. For a story-heavy game like Guild Wars, there's not really room for placeholder quests.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that kind of leads into my pet peeve, which is AI. Especially because... especially generally that it's usually not terribly good. So instead of having, you know, enjoyment in combat, they just send tons and tons and tons and tons of enemies at you. I mean, in Guild Wars, you're tripping over enemies every 5 feet just to get to whatever quest objective or mission or wherever you're going. And it's really such a shame, especially with in Guild Wars, considering how beautiful the art assets are, that you never get time to stop and take in the, you know, the scenery. You know, but I mean, although hopefully in Guild Wars 2, this isn't going to be as much of a problem because the way that their combat system's shaping up is that for intents and purposes, they probably can have actually really good AI. I mean, I could probably do a whole bloody show on it. But, you know, if you've ever played Monster Hunter or seen it, the AI in that game is fantastic. It's, you know, and, you know, so, I mean, I would like to see a little bit of that in Guild Wars, to be honest. I would like to actually be challenged when I'm fighting against monsters rather than just bop them on the head, move to the next, bop them on the head, move to the next. Because in the long run, it's, you're not doing anyone any favors.
Yeah. I wish there was a way, like you said, there, the art is so beautiful in Guild Wars, and I wish there was a way where we could. There are certain places where you just simply cannot stop and look around. To me, one of the most beautiful areas of the game is inside Glint's Challenge. You're not going to be looking at the scenery in there. There's simply no way to do it, unless you can gather up seven other people to go deal with things while you browse.
See, I'm glad you actually brought that up, because that was actually going to be my pet peeve, is the whole rushing through zone thing. And the first time I ever noticed this was in Ion, I think. I thought that it had some gorgeous zones in it, you know, in the beginning areas, and then it was like, finish these three quests, and then you move on to a whole new area, and then you finish those three quests. And I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't even get to look really back there, like what was going on back there. But I know that later on it actually does get a little better at that. But I just, I feel bad for the artists, I guess, because, you know, we're being rushed through and then into a whole different area, and then I'm like, wait, I wanted to kind of have a picnic back there and just kind of enjoy the scenery, you know?
Just kind of hang out.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know if that's really considered a pet peeve. It's one of those things that it bothers me a little bit, but I actually have a lot of pet peeves. I could go on and on.
No.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I know. I know.
You know, that is actually, and you know, I complain about these where you have to rush, because a lot of these areas are, especially in factions, you're racing the clock and it's ticking down and you're hurry. But the other half of the game, there's an advantage to it being so instanced, in that you can clear it out and sightsee. And I've actually got Sorrow's Furnace in mind. Sorrow's Furnace is incredibly, incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
And the persistent nature, or I'm sorry, the instant nature of it allows you to finish up what you're doing and know that there aren't going to be any more respawns. So you can take your time and look around and appreciate the art. And have a picnic.
Right.
With red bean cakes and stuff.
Yeah, and you can't really do that in persistent games because, you know, they just respawn every 5 seconds. So, you know, and hopefully they, and Guild Wars 2, you'll actually be given an opportunity to actually explore, or at least ignore combat.
Yeah, yeah. That would be cool. Well, what about Tramell, Omero? What do you guys think? Pet peeves?
Only one I can really think of is those quests where you kill that one name mob and it's like 50 people have to do it with you. Bottleneck.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's the only one I really have that really bothers me.
My pet peeve it's probably my pet peeve, but it's also my greatest love for MMOs and online games in general, the people. If you meet bad people, it can turn a good game into a bad game. Mm-hmm. But then again, if you meet good people, it can turn a bad game into a great game.
Yep.
And, you know, there's the griefers and the gankers and all of those. I know back in 99, 2000-ish, I played a MUD. It was all open world PvP, but nobody killed each other because there was rules in place and everyone followed the rules, even though they were soft rules. I just can't see that happening nowadays. No. Anything that has PvP where you can kill someone else, even if you're not supposed to, people are going to kill.
Yeah,
there's a measure of respect that I don't think is there anymore.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it kind of brings up the whole idea of communities in a lot of MMOs. I mean, even though the MMO community in general, you know, may have a particular characteristic that I, at the moment, couldn't really say what it is, but each MMO individually has its own community with its own characteristics, and it's interesting to see the differences in those as you go from game to game. For example, the World of Warcraft community, I remember back when I first started playing, back when it first came out, The entire community for a number of years were, you know, for the most part, a fantastic group of people. And to anybody who plays World of Warcraft that out there, I'm not saying that all of you are like this, but in general, the World of Warcraft community has degraded in my view. More people have become more likely to, you know, ninja loot or, you know, to drop out of a group and not without any sort of, you know, word or indication that they're leaving. No apologies, no nothing. I mean, there's no respect. There's no, what sort of?
There's no consequence.
Yeah. There's none of that, and it can make the game really frustrating for the people who are really trying to, you know, give a good contribution to the community. When I came over to ArenaNet, I guess it's kind of all ArenaNet, Guild Wars, even though I'm sure that there are those kind of people who bring it down, I've sensed from the Guild Wars community a much more helpful kind of a spirit from them. They're a lot more likely to be friendly, to not, you know, when you ask something in general chat in a city, the likelihood that you're just going to get, you know, somebody's going to just 50 sarcastic comments or responses that have nothing to do with the actual question that you had. You know, they're like, oh, learn to play or something like that. Yeah. Most people are actually pretty helpful in Guild Wars, and I really have enjoyed that. And I hope that carries over into Guild Wars 2 because, you know, that's the kind of community that really makes an MMO fun. You know, yeah. Amara said it's either, you know, it's a bonus and it's a minus as far as a community is concerned. You have some people who are awesome, and those are the people you want to maintain relationships with in the game, you know, later on. For example, MVOP, I hope so much, Ruby, that we carried the MVOP guild into Guild Wars 2. I hope
we totally are.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to be there.
Actually, the entire alliance is carrying over.
Really?
Yeah, which I think is so cool. And I know it's not real technically going to work like that, but we're all going to work together as much as we can in Guild Wars 2.
You know, that brings up another good point. We at Massively, I started this thing called Community Detective. I don't know if any of you read that or not, but I've passed it on now. But it started out where I was going into games and kind of asking really stupid questions to the community in all chat and just seeing how they, you know, gauging how they react to it. Because I was interested to see the different games and if there's a difference between, you know, the communities. So I would go into something like LOTRO and I would ask something very simple, like, where do you find the Hobbit place? You know, and people would be like, oh, you know, go here and you turn this way and you do that. And other people would be like, you know, screw off, you're such a noob. But it wasn't an overwhelming thing. It was like every once in a while somebody would respond. But for the most part, most people were just playing and not really paying attention. Now, when I played Age of Conan, the response, I started out the game and I said, now anyone who plays this knows that about Tortage. It's basically the first city you get to in, like, you know, one level or two levels. And I said, where is Tortage? And you would expect in a game like that, you know, people are really hardcore and they're really into, you know, being tough and everything. And there were the reactions in general chat, which were like, are you kidding me? You cannot possibly be that stupid. And that was most of the responses. But then I got an overwhelming private IMs of people giving me precise directions.
Yeah.
So it was interesting for me to see that there's a whole group of people who are all about showboating in general chat, and then there's a group of people who can be as helpful as you, more than you could ever imagine, but they tend to be more private, you know. Mm. So I find that stuff interesting, and I think that is kind of speaks generally for all MMOs. You know, the kind of asshats are out there doing it in general chat and local chat because it's funny, you know, Chuck Norris jokes, things like that. But then there are still those really helpful people, but they've kind of been pressed down a little bit, you know.
Yeah. That's a shame.
That's sad.
Yeah. But it's still there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they still exist. You know, that makes me think. I think I have mentioned before that I tried World of Warcraft for literally less than 15 minutes. But here's the reason why.
Too many dual invites? Was it?
No, that was you.
Oh, that's right.
No, I And I can't remember the specifics, but I went on a server that was supposed to be a little more newbie friendly. And it's a trap. But I seriously never said a word. I stood there and I watched local chat fly by, and everybody, I mean, I did not see a positive, I did not see a positive word in what, I can't remember what it's called now. It was local chat, global chat, but whatever, you know, everybody was talking in. It was just this giant rant about how much this game sucks because so many newbies are coming in. And, you know, all of these stupid noobs. And I'm just standing there going, this is a horrible place to be.
Yeah.
And I end up, I never said a word, and I just sat there. But that is my impression. That's what I know of the World of Warcraft community now, yeah. Is that they hate these noobs coming on their territory. Yeah. And I logged out and I uninstalled. And then by contrast, because it's really, that's not a community I want to be a part of. And yeah. I have limited gaming time and I don't want it to be like that. It can be the best game in the world. If the community's like that, I'm going to go find something a little bit better.
I find that interesting. I mean, because from my experiences with StarCraft 2, which everyone who doesn't know, it's also a Blizzard game, it's the community seems to be quite the opposite. I mean, and it's a PvP straightforward game, you know, it's full-on competition. But everyone in there is extremely helpful and nice, and generally all the time.
Hmm. Give it 5 years.
Well, maybe that's I belong to a StarCraft 2 community, and it is a really great community. That's the reason why I'm there, and I help out so much. But that being said, our replay section is kind of full of a lot of OMG, what are these people on about? So it seems a bit, you know, there's talk of, I believe the word nowadays is Xbox Live people coming to StarCraft 2 because it's competitive. But for the most part, I haven't had any personal issues, but yeah, they're out there.
Yeah, I'd like to know what community you belong to. I wouldn't mind being part of a community in StarCraft 2. I haven't managed to find one yet, at least not on this side of the pond.
Would that be self-advertising?
No, I've looked since beta, and I don't know, maybe I'm just introverted.
Oh, well, Sean can edit it out. It's called StarCast. It's based off a podcast.
No, it's okay, we can keep that in.
Okay, duly noted. I'll see if I can find you out there, because honestly, I mean, StarCraft 2 is a... I would love to learn a lot more about it, but I cannot play it on my own at all. It's something, unless you're really willing to train, you know, really hard on your own, which is very difficult, it's hard to improve in that game.
We're all about the improving. Of course, though, the community is split between the elitists, the ones who play it all the time, the ones who want to be great, and the Bronze Leaguers who just want to have fun. So there's a spot for everyone.
True.
Cool.
Well, on that note...
Yeah, on that note, we should probably wrap this up. But I want to thank you all for coming on. I mean, this was actually... It went a lot smoother. I probably won't even have to edit this. It's like, it went really well. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah, but thank you all for coming on. Now, did any of you have anything else that you wanted to pimp, like any websites or StarCast or anything like that?
Oh, can I pimp the Massive League Guild?
Sure.
Okay, and actually we've talked to, now that Dan and I have already pimped it like through there. It's actually, if you go to Guild Wars Online, and I think you can probably just Google it, I'll put the URL in the show notes, but it is we're part of one of the longest running alliances in the game, and Dan can vouch, it's an extremely, extremely active and friendly alliance.
I love it. The best.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you know what? I have to say, this is, in all my years of Guild Wars, this is the second alliance I've belonged to. And the first one was Guildcast Listeners United. This is the only other alliance after Guildcast Listeners, after Glue was gone, it's the first one that felt like home. And I am going on, I'm 2.5 years in that alliance now. But the members are from all over the world. It is active almost 24/7. So it has been, it's just been wonderful. And we have a couple more spots in MVOP. And even if not, a couple of the other guilds have a little bit of room too. So if you need a Guild Wars home, we have one.
Are you looking at me?
I could, honestly, I could do that.
Well, honestly, I would have loved to have got, joined up with it earlier in my Guild Wars career, but unfortunately I played it for like 2.5 years before the guild came along, and unfortunately Guild Wars kind of dried up for me. So, but if I'd been back then, if I'd been in that guild back then, maybe I wouldn't be so jaded.
Well, it is. It really is. We've had so much fun.
Oh, well, there's always Guild Wars 2, so I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun when that game comes around.
Oh, yeah. Anyone else?
Oh, Red Flame Seeker Chronicles. Sorry.
I already do, Ruby. You know that.
I've got to come up with something else.
Does that mean I have to start reading it?
I know, you just pretend to edit it. Yes, it looks fine. Just punch it. Leave me alone.
Well, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. And if you want to send us email, which we will probably read on the next show, we have a ton, you can email Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. We also have our Twitter and Facebook pages, which are fantastic, I must say. And then we have the main page, guildcast.com, or guildcast.wordpress.com. So that's it from us. Everyone want to say goodbye, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We're going to be on the podcast next week? No.
Part 2 coming next week.
Yeah.
Dan the Man is the best name ever.